Stand over here, okay? And first, I'm going to tell you I'm an addict named Chuck. Okay, and the reason why I'm going to stand over here is because I don't smoke. Some of y'all smoke. And smoking kind of takes my breath away. You know, like, when you get clean, you develop illnesses and stuff like that. And breathing is one of mine right now. And so, like, I want to keep breathing, so I kind of stay away from people who smoke. Okay, it's nothing personal, but, like, this is my life now. Okay, so listen, but before we go any further, I'm going to ask did y'all indulge, and I'm going to ask that you pray the way you pray. I'm going to pray the way I pray. Together, we're going to invite a very loving and caring God out here with us, and then we'll see what happens after that. Okay, once again, an addict named Chuck. You know, it's so beautiful out here. You know what I mean? And actually, this is the very first time I ever got to speak next to a lake, you know, out on a picnic with some beautiful people. You know, and I really consider this a privilege and an honor to be able to do something like this. You know, but Rich said, you know, I don't know where it comes from either, so I blame it all on my higher power. You know, I remember coming into this program, and when I came into the program, they told me, get a piece of paper and write down what you expect or what you want. You know, and the only thing I wrote on my piece of paper was, I want to stop using drugs, and I want to be able to be around some people who don't use drugs. And this is what I ended up with. Now, my expectations have gone beyond anything that I could have imagined. Because along with this, I even developed a relationship with God. You know, and coming into this program, I didn't really believe too much in God. Because he never did too much for me, so why should I do anything for him? You know, there was those times when I would say, God, please don't let me get beat this time. You know, God, let me come down. You know, God, let me find something so I can feel better about myself. You know, I remember those times, but, you know, it was like, my relationship with God was truly one-sided then. You know, I wanted what I wanted. And if he couldn't give it to me, you know, like, I would go to something physical. You know, and usually I found that in my act of addiction, I didn't realize it in the beginning, but our literature talks about us using physical things to heal a spiritual problem. Now, I didn't understand that at first, you know. I thought that, like, if I felt bad and I go find some cutie pie to make me feel better, that was all right. You know, I felt that, like, if I needed to change the way my attitude was and I got something to get high off of, that was okay. See, I didn't understand, you know, and it wasn't for me to understand when I was using that I needed a spiritual solution to my problem. And I'm going to tell you something. My first basic text, a fourth edition, a friend of mine was in a rehab. He came to my house, and we did lines on it. Okay? That was the only use I had for a basic text. All right? And it stayed in my house for about a year. You know, just sat there. You know what I mean? And I continued to use. And I remember that last day. You know, that last day? I mean, that last day. You know, and it was that last day that, like, I was down to nothing. You know what I mean? And I'm going to say it like this. Sometimes our last day ain't as bad as we think it is. Because I truly thought I was down to nothing. But actually, I still had people who loved me and wanted the best for me. But I didn't know how to say anything to them. You know, I knew that every time I seen them, their heads dropped. You know, they looked a different way. And, you know, like my mother, she would go, man, why don't you do something about this? But she didn't know. I didn't know what to do about it. You know, and I truly didn't. Because I knew nothing about Narcotics Anonymous when I got clean. And I don't know if your last days was anything like my last day. I wanted to get clean long before the opportunity event presented itself. It just wasn't there for me. You know, it was like God was saying, I'm going to wait till you're really sick and tired, you know, because I know if I give a little bit of it to you right now, you ain't going to appreciate it, you know, and you might corrupt something that I know that's beautiful. And he waited. And he waited, and he waited. And get this, he waited until, get this, I went through nursing school, smoking crack every day, and got honors. Now, I don't know how I did that. You know? Now, if there's anybody here going to school that ain't getting high, you know what I mean? Imagine what you can do. I smoke crack every day. And when I say I got honors, the Rotary Club even gave me a plaque. You know what I mean? Because they thought I was such an outstanding student. They didn't know that every night, you know, that I was out on the corner chasing stuff as much as I could. You know? But that last day, that very last one, I remember being tired. And a friend of mine asked me, man, what you going to do? And he kept asking me, what you going to do? What you going to do? And I didn't have a clue about what I was going to do. But I'm going to tell you what happened. And at first, there was a time in my story I would never tell anybody this. But I heard a voice say, follow me. And I was like, whoa. But I decided to follow this voice where it would lead me. And I had my nursing uniform on. You know, because I was stuck in a vicious cycle. I don't know if you know what a vicious cycle can be. You know, it's like you go to work, you get paid, you use. You go to work, you get paid, you use. You go to work, you get paid, you use. And that was the vicious cycle that I was stuck in, because that's all I knew how to do, was use. So it said, follow me. So I went to this one place, and I had all white on. They looked at me, they said, get out. I was like, whoa, I need help. They looked at me, they said, no, you don't need no help, you get out of here. I went to another place. I said, look, I need some help. They says, get out of here. We ain't helping you. Just go away. You know, it was like they was looking at the outside, not seeing the inside. See, a lot of times we look at the outside, we don't know what's going on the inside. You know, we're dying on the inside. Most people can't even see it because it's disease we suffer from. You know, it's something that we suffer from, a disease that kills us from the inside out. You know, you be looking just as good as you want. Next thing you know, you're dead. And I hate this disease. I'm going to tell you straight up, I hate this disease. And I hate what it does to my friends, my sponsees, and everything else. And I hate it what it does to the addict that I ain't even met yet. But I love what this program of Narcotics Anonymous does for us addicts who have found it, learned how to embrace it, and let it and use it in our lives. So get this, I go back to this one place, and this was a place that a few years ago, my job had sent me, because I had a heart attack. One night, you know, some dude, he was a drug dealer. He was mad at his brother. His brother was a using addict. I was a using addict. So to fix his brother, he was going to give me all the crack that he could give me. The only thing is I had to smoke it all right there in front of his brother. So I smoked until I had a heart attack. You know, and I ended up in a hospital. I went to the hospital. The hospital seemed to, like, you got a drug problem. They sent me up in the psych ward, because that's where they used to send you, to the psych ward. You know, I don't know if you've ever been to one of them psych wards. They got the same green walls no matter which one you go to. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And, you know, they lock the door and they put you in and they give you them little funny pills to tell you they're going to make you feel better. You know, once again, another chemical to use something. A physical solution to a spiritual problem. It didn't work then, it ain't going to work now. You know, but that's just my view. Okay? So, I have to go back to the same place. And see, I have skills. I'm a nurse. I know what to tell people. I walk in. They say, what's wrong with you? I'm having a heart attack. They say, wow, getting, wire me up, you know, IVs and all that. Doctor comes in and says, you don't seem to have the symptoms of a heart attack, but your heart is beating about 200 beats a minute. You know, what's up with that? And I said, I got a drug problem and I need some help. And I remember when I made that admission for the very first time. I don't know about you when you made your first admission, but when I made that admission for the very first time, it was like something like, you know, it just came up off of me just like that. And I felt good about me telling the truth about me for the first time in my life. And they left me in the room. They didn't know that my disease was in there with me. They didn't know that as soon as they left the room, my disease started talking again. My disease said things like, look, man, we was just having a bad day. We really don't need this. No. You know? Well, why don't you, look, you're a nurse. Pull that IV out, apply some pressure to it, and get up out of here. You know, you don't really need to be here. Let's leave. But for some strange reason, I didn't listen that time. And they came back in the room, and they said, well, we don't know what we're going to do with you. And I said, listen, if you don't help me right now, there's a river right there, you can have my body labor, because I'm going to kill myself. And she looked at me, it was a female nurse, a doctor, and she looked at me, and she left the room again. Now my disease got real serious. He says, look, man, you know, we really don't need to be here. You know, there's stuff out there waiting, there's plenty to do. You just needed a break. You got your break. Let's go someplace else. You know? But then she came back. And when she came back, she said very simply, listen, can you get to such and such hospital? I said, yeah. She said, well, there's a bed waiting for you if you can get there. And I remember walking out that door, no money, the illusion of lost everything, and I get outside, and I'm like, how am I going to get there? And I stick my hand in my pocket, and out comes a $20 bill. You know, my disease started talking real swift. $20? We got it made. Let's go do something. I went and did something. I went and bought the best meal I'd had in quite a long time. One of those double cheeseburger meals at McDonald's, you know, and it worked. I bought me 2 packs of cigarettes because I was smoking then, and I made my way to this hospital. And I remember getting there and getting down on my knees and thanking God, because I truly didn't know where I was going to go from here or what was going to happen to me. But I knew that I was in a much better place than I was before. And after that, it was amazing because I was in here with all these geniuses. You know, the cats that have been there 4 or 5 times before you. You know what I mean? The ones that knows all the ropes. You know, they know exactly how to do things. You know? And they got mad at me when I said, well, if you know all this, why are you here again? And the one guy, he refused to speak to me anymore after that, you know. But while I was there, it was something because, like, I made a phone call home. And for some reason, I asked them to bring me that book that's sitting there. I needed some clothes, but I want that book more than anything else. And I remember the fight that happened because everybody in my house was using it at that time. And I'm going to say my sister won the fight, you know. And she bought the clothes, and I gave her my monthly bus pass. Because that was the deal. I'll give you my monthly bus pass, you bring me this stuff. My monthly bus pass was good. You know, monthly bus pass back then was good for a couple stones. You know, my clean date's October 9th, 1993. Okay? So my bus pass was still good for some, you know, a whole month just about. So she won it, you know what I mean? And I had this book. This book that I had no clue about, but this book that I didn't know would become one of my best friends I've ever had. Okay? And I started reading this book. And I remember reading Who's an Addict? And wondering why I was calling myself an addict. See, I started identifying with this stuff before I knew anything about it. It was like I was reading this book and it was hitting me on the inside, and I didn't understand why it was hitting me on the inside. But I understand I had a spirit inside of me that was coming alive. A spirit that I had been killing for so long, and all of a sudden I had this thing, and my spirit was coming alive. And I read this subject, this chapter, Who's an Addict? And then it didn't stand out, but it started going inside. Now, I'm going to tell you the funny part about it. I got to, what is the NA program? And I read it, and I start working steps. Now, I don't know if you tried to work steps when you was in a rehab, but I tried to work steps when I was in a rehab. I said, I'm powerless over drugs. Yeah, I could see that. And I understood it just what I thought it to say. I'm powerless over drugs. Not that I'm powerless over my addiction and it makes my life unmanageable. I understood it to say I'm powerless over drugs. I come to believe in a power greater than myself. Well, what was a power greater than myself? Right then and there was crack. And I believe the crack could continuously kill me if I allowed it to. It says, would you make a decision to turn your will and life over to God? I begged God to help me. I said, please help me. Then I did a fourth step. Doing a fourth step in a rehab is not advisable. Again, because I wrote down some of the most cockamamie stuff, all the bad things that I had ever thought I did. You know, I did the fifth step to the best. What are you going to admit? I admit that I'm a drug addict. That's all I got to admit. Okay? Do you have character defects? Well, I don't even know what those are, so I guess I don't have none of them. You know? You know, so I don't need this humility piece. And I made my list of all the people that had harmed me, you know, all the people that hurt my feelings, and I wrote them all down. And then I got to the ninth step, and it said made amends. I said, well, I guess I got to say I'm sorry. So I called all my family members and apologized to them. And I guess God said that was enough of this foolishness, because about that time I was supposed to leave, but something strange happened. Instead of me leaving, I got sick. In fact, I got so sick I started going into convulsions. They had finally found that I had a spot on my bladder. Had I been anyplace else, I'd have died. But I was in the hospital when that happened. And they took me down, they did an emergency surgery on me, fixed me all up, and allowed me to read 10, 11, and 12. And I truly believe that was the beginning of my recovery. I didn't really understand it, but I knew something inside my spirit was starting to grow. And then it came a time, they said, man, where are you going to go from here? And I said, I don't know. And they said, would you like to go to a rehab? And I said, rehabs don't work, because that's where I got this book at. You know? And they said, well, why don't you give it a shot? And I said, well, how much is it going to cost? They said, it's going to be free. I'll go. I love free. I still like free. You know? You say free, I'm with that. You know? So I go to this rehab. And I almost got kicked out of the rehab because the mistake I made was I took this book with me. And when I took this basic text that now I'm reading and now I'm asking questions about, you know, because in between the detox and the rehab, I got to go home. And it was suggested to me that I hook up with a group of people called impaired professionals. Now, I told them I didn't get high with no impaired professionals. I got high with people who just like to get high, you know. And they said, well, this is the group that you need because this is the job that you have and these are the people that you need to be around. So they gave me a phone number and I called them and I called them and I called them and I called them and I never got an answer. Somebody gave me a hotline number. And I called this hotline number and they called me right back. And they said, go to this meeting. Go to this meeting. Go to this meeting. And you can make it to this meeting. And there was something about those folks at Narcotics Anonymous, man. They just got to me. And I went to my first meeting, and everybody wanted to hug me. And I said, am I famous? You know? What's the deal? You know, do you want something from me? Because I'm used to people wanting something from me. And they said, no, man. All we want is for you to do is to just keep coming back. And I was like, wow. So I was out of the rehab for the detox for 3 days. The first day I tried to get in touch with these impaired professionals. I couldn't find them. I went to one Narcotics Anonymous meeting. The next day, I went to this other place that I go to, and I went to one Narcotics Anonymous meeting, and I was able to see the difference between the love that I was getting in Narcotics Anonymous and the love that I was getting someplace else. I went to the other place, sat down, and that was it. I went to a Narcotics Anonymous meeting. I couldn't get to a chair without having to hug everybody. You know, they were saying, man, would you like a cup of coffee? Welcome. You don't have to fight no more. You know, just make yourself comfortable. And I was like, well, what's up with this? And then the third day, I went to 5 NA meetings. And that's when I met my sponsor. I walked into a room, and it was like this room with this big skylight in it, and there was a big light in the room, and all these people was in here, but all I could see was this one joker standing there. I call him a joker because sometimes I don't like him. You know, he tells me the truth all the time. You know, even when I want to do some stuff that requires no truth, he still wants me to know the truth about it. You know, so sometimes I don't understand him, but you know, that's a different story altogether. But anyway, you know, it was like I walked into the meeting and I walked up to the podium. And I said, I need a sponsor. And he goes, well, I would consider it an honor to sponsor you. I was like, really? He says, yeah. He said, in fact, sit down, let me get you a cup of coffee, and we'll talk after the meeting. Him and I have been hanging for almost 13 years now. You know, we have our differences of opinion, because like he told me once, we was talking, and he said, man, listen, you need to do this. And I said, yeah, man, but I know this. He says, yeah, man, but you need to do this. I said, yeah, man, but I know this. He says, man, you know, you really need to do this. I said, yeah, man, listen, I know this. He says, let's stop for a minute. He says, you know, I can tell that you're a real intelligent person, but your mind is like a bad neighborhood, and I advise you never go there by yourself anymore. You know, only, you know, maybe if you can just listen to me a little bit, you know, I can keep you from hurting yourself. You know, just listen to me a little bit. And I said, I'll give you a chance, you know. So then I went to this rehab. And like I said, I took this book to this rehab with me. And I had this book. And in the rehab, it was totally different. They said, we want the heroin addicts over here. You know, we want the alcoholics over here. You know, we want the people who snorted cocaine over here. He said, y'all folks who smoke crack, y'all go over here. And I said, but this book says that we all suffer from the disease of addiction. What's up with that? You don't need that book here. I said, but wait a minute. The front of the book says this was written by addicts for addicts, so give yourself a break. And they said, listen, if you want to read that book, we may have to put you out of here, because we ain't about that book. That's what they said openly. You know what they said privately? Please keep reading that book. We wish more people were coming here like you reading that book. Because that book is going to tell you everything you need to know about you. I call it my autobiography. Okay? I call it It Works Out and Why, the sequel to my autobiography. I ain't never had nobody write something about me that talked about me so well. And I do a lot of reading. I do an awful lot of reading. But when you have a basic text, and like girlfriend here, Gina says, I carry my book with me all the time. I remember when I got clean, you would not see me without my basic text. I got one in my car. My brother just couldn't find it, that's all. But I remember walking through my neighborhood, and I would have my basic text, like it would ward off evil spirits. You know what I mean? And it happened to everybody. Yeah, I got a basic text. You see this? I got a basic text. And I remember one day walking through my neighborhood, and the young dudes, they would see me. And I remember this one dude running across the street. Man, what's up? What's up? You want a cop? You want a cop? And the dude yelled across the street, man, leave Chuck alone. He got 90 days clean. I didn't know how he knew how much clean time I had. I really didn't. But I also didn't know people was watching me like that. See, when I mentioned my sister who won the race to bring me the book, she just celebrated 4 years clean. See, I didn't take this program and beat her over the head with it. I didn't tell her what she needed to do. I just let her watch me. I let her see the way my life was changing. And I let her see all the fun things that I could do today. And the way that I could do things. And the way that, look, I was employable today. You know, it's something when you get a job and somebody tells you, I wish I had 10 more people just like you and we'd be okay. I remember working in the steel mill, and one of the executives walked up to me. He says, you know, Charlie, there's 25,000 people out here who would love to have your job, and I wish I could just get one of them in. But that's the way they thought about me. You know, I never wanted to come to work, especially on payday. I was going to get high. They were subject to catch me high at work more than once. You know, it was funny because I'm going to tell you, I truly believe God saved us for this. I got a lot of friends that didn't make it. A lot of friends. I'm 52 years old. You know how many dead friends I've buried? Okay? Especially since I've been clean. And I can tell the difference. I got friends that are still standing in the same spot we copped at. Still living the same kind of way. But I don't beat them over the head with it. I simply tell them, when you're tired, I got a great place for you to come visit. You know? Sometimes we're the best example of a basic text our friends and our loved ones will ever see. Sometimes just by living this life, and I mean by living it, you know, when I call living it, see, I have a different, you know, when I call living, I said reading the literature and applying it to your life. You know, like taking that one part in the basic text that it is a requirement of my sponsees to know. My reactions to drugs is what makes me an addict, not how much I use. And once I get that, see, like, it don't matter how much you use. We get an allergic reaction to drugs. I can take anything and bust out someplace, back alleys, jail cells, you know, almost anywhere. I'm going to have an allergic reaction. But then, as we read our literature and learn the wisdom of our literature, there's a lot of secrets in the basic text. You hear me? There's a lot of secrets in the basic text. And all it does is take for you to sit there, pray about it, and let it hit you in your head. Like you take that same thing I just said, our reaction to life shows our character. How I react to things shows the type of person I am. Especially at those moments that really try you, those moments that say, well, like, look, I'm going to get on your very last nerve right now. I just want to see what you're going to do. Look, I've had some horrible weeks lately. Been broke because I don't know what. I don't know why. I know why. You know, you get married, you get broke sometimes. Sometimes. you know what I mean? And you know, like, the way I am, you know, I done got to a point in my life where I'm not so important when it comes to my family. I don't mind making a sacrifice and giving to my family. I don't mind it at all. So I kind of put my wife first a whole lot of times. I remember recently my van broke down. And a friend of mine said, didn't you buy that car for your wife? I said, yeah. He said, well, why don't you just take it back? I said, I don't roll like that. That's her car. She won't let me use it, fine and dandy. She can take me to work and come pick me back up. I don't mind it at all. I ain't taking my wife's car. That's the type of man I am today. If I give you something, it's yours. I ain't taking it back. You know, that's the right type of life I like to live today. It makes me feel good about who I am. And if I tell you I love you, I really do. There's something about addicts, man, I just love. There's something about giving you what I have to give you makes me feel good inside. There's something about that statement that says that if we can only keep what we have by by learning how to give it away. Okay? We can give it away, but some people just don't want what you got. Like my grand sponsor tells me, some of us are as sick as our secrets, and some of us as well we're ever going to get. And that's the way it is. You know, and some things some people got, I just don't want. But I'm going to love you anyway, because you're entitled to be the way you choose to be in this life. We all get that choice. The lovely thing about Narcotics Anonymous is it gives us a choice. It allows us the freedom to live our lives. So get this. I finished the rehab. And I remember that day that it was time to leave. And I remember that day when everybody had somebody come to pick them up. You know who met me? God. He was sitting there waiting for me. And he said, Chuck, I'm about to take you on a journey like you ain't never been before in your life. And that's just what he did up to this point. He has taken me on a journey. You know, recently I got a call from the governor's office, and I love telling people this. You know, today I work with children. And I can't imagine me working with children, but I work with children today. I do this child development piece. I invented a bingo to help children eat healthy and play healthy. And it went to the governor's office. Now, don't ask me how it got there, because all I can say is it got there. They called me on the phone, and they asked me about it. And I thought that was the end of it. Then they called me again. And I said, uh-oh. It was so nice that somebody called you on the phone from someplace like that, not telling you, you owe us this much money. You know what I mean? And if you don't turn yourself in, we'll be there to get you. You know? But it was a different thing. You know? And that's the way my life has been. My life has been so different. You know, I remember one day when I first got this job that I got, and I was sitting in an empty building. But it was like God was saying, I want you to build this program. Now get this, y'all gave me the confidence to do it. I could have never had it on my own. Y'all gave me the confidence. But I remember praying, saying, look, I need some kind of sign. I'm in this empty building. Ain't nobody in here. There's bugs in here. I'm seeing bats flying around every now and then. You know, I need some sign. That night I went home, and one of my nephews ran into the house and said, Uncle Chuck, there's a baby outside. I said, okay, go find out who the baby belonged to. Well, the baby can't talk. I said, well, the baby got to belong to somebody around here. So I tell my son, you go find out where this baby belongs. My son runs outside, He comes running back in the house. Dad, you need to come out here right now. So I go outside and everybody's standing around. I said, well, where's the baby? They said, baby's over there under this pile of rags. And I went up and I picked up the baby. The baby still had the cord attached to it. Somebody had a baby and left it there by my house. I picks the baby up, takes it in the house, calls, asked them, get this. I said, anybody call 911? They all looking at me like I'm stupid. You know what I mean? And parts of it I like to make funny because I told my son, go call 911. He ran all the way up to his bedroom on the third floor, disconnected his telephone, brought it downstairs and said, here, Dad, and handed me the telephone. You know? But it was like, I found this baby, and this was the answer that I needed from God, that I was doing the work that I was supposed to be doing. So we got 11 step, and it's so beautiful. Our 11 step says, we sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry it out. When you do these steps, you get empowered. I'm going to tell you, there's power in these steps like you will never believe. The steps will give you the power to look in the mirror and like the person that you see, and not only that, but to forgive that person that you see. You hear me? The steps will give you power to take chances like you ain't never took chances before in your life. The steps will give you power to go places and directions that you may never have thought you'd been able to go. But that's what these steps do. They empower us. And I love to tell people, Narcotics Anonymous, through the steps, led me back to a relationship with God that I had never had before. And it's a beautiful thing. It's like we do this program, we start to live this life, and we start to enjoy this life, and life gets good. Now, it ain't always good. Because I'll tell you straight up, this week here, first, my son's mother calls. They turn my gas off. But why are you calling me? Well, I figure I might as well call you, see what you can do. I said, all right. My mother calls. They turn my electricity off. Why are you calling me? Well, I figure I might as well call you first, let you know what's going on, so if you come by the house and ain't no lights on, you won't get mad at anybody. Okay. So now we're up to $500, okay? I'm up to $500 now. I go home, my wife says, you know my car payment check didn't go through. Now we're looking at another $300. I'm sitting there saying, you know, God, I thought the way this worked was that you'll put no more on me than what you can handle. But he tells me he can handle his end. What am I going to do with it? And then he always refers me back to the basic text to tell me, your reaction is going to show your character. Are you going to get mad and cuss people out because they forgot to do things? Or are you just going to help them the best you can? I've learned in this program sometimes I can help addicts better than I can help my family members. And that's something that I'm trying to change right now. That I'm trying to be able to treat my family members the same way that I would treat anybody that I would meet in recovery. I have a son, went to prison, and he's right back to doing the same things that he was doing before. You know, love him to death, offer him the world. But he doesn't understand what the world is really all about. See, it's something when we still think we can do the same old things, forgetting about the results that we got. We forget that stuff. I got another child in my life who hates me because I'm clean. I'm clean. When I was using, selling drugs and all that, I gave him everything. Now that I don't do that, I got to give you the truth. If you don't like the truth, that's your problem. Then I got a couple daughters that love me to death. They just love their daddy, you know? And then I got some grandchildren that I can't stand on any given day that won't never leave my house. I can't get them out of my house. They eat all my candy. They eat all my cake. They tell me I'm a diabetic. I'm not supposed to have this stuff anyway. You know, they think they know what they're talking about. I can't hide nothing from them. You know, and I can't go nowhere without them. Every time I get them, can we go? Leave me alone. You know what I mean? They always want to be up underneath you. And get this, what I'm saying is I used to be a guy nobody wanted to be around. But now I'm a guy that everybody likes to be around. You know what I mean? See, Narcotics Anonymous empowers us to create an atmosphere around us that makes anybody welcome. You know, it's so nice when, you know, a person can come around you and they can feel comfortable around you. You know, and you can start living your life like that. You know, I'll tell you, you know, so many things have happened in my life. And if it hadn't been for Narcotics Anonymous, it would have never happened. Like a friend of mine said, when you pray, you got to get in position. When God blesses you, you got to be in position for the blessing. You know, and they've taught me, y'all have taught me how to be in position for a blessing. You know, be right there. I remember when a guy gave me a first edition of Basic Text. Floored me. I was like, why are you giving me this book? You know, he said, learn how to accept the gift, like the gift of life that you now have. You know, and I'm going to tell you, you know, we've all been blessed with the gift of life. But it's our choice whether we want to keep it or not. You know what I mean? It's like me personally, I don't care come hell or high water, I'm keeping my choice. You know, I don't care, I can go bankrupt, I can go, you can take everything off of me, you're not getting my clean date. Okay? And I'm going to tell you something, to be very truthful, I asked God to kill me before he let me use again. And I'm still serious about that. I would rather die than go back to living that way again. Because I could see no future in it. I remember one Christmas, man, a friend of mine who had been struggling with this program died. You know, I remember going down to the state penitentiary and speaking down there. And I remember doing this, like, cab trip and going to this St. Clair Village part. And all these addicts was walking around at 2:30 in the morning like the living dead. You know? And the choice came to me, if you only had a choice of those three, where would you be? I'd take the state pen because I can stay clean in jail. I can stay clean in jail. And I know I can. I don't want to go, but you know, but I can stay clean there because of what y'all have gave me. You know, y'all gave me the courage to live. There's no cowards in Narcotics Anonymous. You know, you won't find a coward here. People who stay in Narcotics Anonymous is because we've learned how to look at ourselves, accept ourselves for who we are, and go on and live our lives. You know, we've learned that God is bigger than any situation that could ever happen, and he sits on the other side of willingness. All I have to do is be willing to go through it. That's all I have to do. You know, learn how to live my life, enjoy the fruits of this program, and let it happen. That's all I have to do. So listen, you know, I'm going to say once again, you know, this is drop dead gorgeous. Before I close, I'm going to tell y'all this, you know, recently I was broke. I'm always broke. But that ain't nothing new to me because God meets all my needs. You know, all I got to do is do what he wants me to do. He's going to meet my needs. Okay? But it was getting to be my fifth wedding anniversary. And I'm sitting there saying, you know, God, fifth wedding anniversary, my wife wants something out of this world. I know I can't afford it. But look, I know you got to give her something. I'm putting this all in your hands. And I'm sitting there and the phone rings. And when the phone rings, the guy says, listen, man, we know it's the last minute, but we need somebody to tape our convention. I said, man, it's my wedding anniversary. My wife will kill me if I run out here to tape a convention. He said, well, listen, man, it's small. You know, you can bring your wife. I'm like, man, I don't know, you know, but, small. You know, me and her can go. At least we'll be out of town. Everything could be okay, you know. And I said, well, I guess I can do it since it's a small thing. You know, we ain't expecting too much. It ain't going to be a lot of work. I said, where's it at? They said, Martha's Vineyard. Now, I don't know what y'all know about Martha's Vineyard. That place is gorgeous. And we got there just before the tour season started. And we had to go a day early. So we had a chance to go all over the island. We had to stay a day after the convention. So we had to get the chance to revisit everything. But the part that was so nice was, since the tour season hadn't started, all the vendors was ordering all their stuff. And they had all these boxes in front of their stores, and the stuff in the stores, they was trying to get out. 25 to 75% off. My wife had a ball. She went shopping. She was buying everything. It was the first year she didn't ask me for nothing for her wedding anniversary. And still hasn't. You know what I mean? So what I'm telling you is, if you wait on God, it may not look good right now. You may not be feeling so good right now. You may think, man, things just ain't going just the way I want them. But you got to wait. You hear me? Because some things, if they come to us, we'll never appreciate it. I remember when I first got keys and took them home, they said, so what, you ain't getting no key tags? I mean, no keys to the house? They gave me the key tags? They wouldn't give me no keys. I was like, I got a place to put a key? No, you ain't getting no keys. You know, now I own the house. You know what I mean? See, things get, when you wait on God, good things will happen. But see, like addicts we are, many of us lack patience. Many of us lack tolerance. I don't want to wait for nothing. You know, I want it when I want it. And that's what got us in so much trouble. And I will say that's what got me in so much trouble. You know, so I've learned how to be patient. I've learned how to accept the blessings as they come, not trying to make them come any faster than what they're supposed to. And I've learned how to just live in the process. And I'm going to tell you, once you get into the groove, I don't know if there's any Star Wars fans out there, but it's like being in the Force. You become one with the Force, you know, and it makes you feel so good inside, you know, and that's what it does, you know. Even when things are going wrong, you can still feel good inside about who you are and what you're doing. So get this in closing, I'm going to tell you this poem, okay, because that's something that I picked up too. And it goes like this, call me what you want, but know that I am an addict. And I didn't get this way because of anything that you did, but what I felt and how I tried to hide it. And I'm not just addicted to drugs, but I'm addicted to people, places, and other things. But I need people, places, and some things. I need recovering people, meeting places, and basic informational things. But most of all, I need God, because I am recovering. And with 12 simple steps, some spiritual principles, and this fellowship, one day I'll be free. But just for today, remember, I'm an addict. Thanks. Wow. Yeah, boy.